Tell your smartphone to smarten up. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. On demand. The Leafs lose Phaneuf to an upper body injury.
You're not really able to replace them. You get other guys get opportunities to step up and you get opportunities to play more minutes. And, you know, everyone else has to pull up the slack. So we're hoping to, you know, get healed as soon as possible. But at this point, we're just his upper body and we're hoping to have him back sooner than later.
You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
7:03, good morning, Brady and Walker. So I just got this tweet. At Fan590Walker.
It's not worst tweet of the day, is it?
No.
Save it.
No,
why
no.
don't you save it?
It's not the worst tweet of the day.
Okay.
It's not accurate. But listen, I understand where Chris is coming from. He says, at Fan590Walker, Brady Fan590. You got it too. Dion Phaneuf, by the way, is week to week. He did not practice yesterday. That was head coach Peter Horacek. And he says Phaneuf is week to week with an upper body injury. And this is another nail in the coffin for this Leafs season, which might be a good thing. Chris says, at Brady and Walker, sounds to me like they're keeping Dion Phaneuf healthy and now looking to move that contract. Now, that's not true. He is actually injured. There's no question.
He'd play if he could play.
Yes, there's no question in anybody's mind.
Yeah.
But I'm not disagreeing that this scenario isn't the worst thing ever for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I know, and we talk about it all the time, Greg, I know people like to hate on Dion Phaneuf. But you might not like his salary. You might not think he should wear the C. He's become an underrated player in terms of what he can bring to a hockey team here.
Well, do you say that ignoring the contract, or do you say I'm not looking at the contract when you say that?
No, I'm ignoring the contract
because
there's a lot of people. Even Bob McCown was talking about it this week on his show.
Yeah.
Talking about how, hey, listen, Phaneuf is a 4-5 kind of guy. That's so asinine. No, he's not. He's at worst a 2. He is.
I know.
I'm sorry.
I know.
He is.
When we think about the stuff, and I can't believe anybody disagrees with us about Phil Kessel, where we say, hey, guess what? Let's play a little game here. Let's go Jigsaw from the movie Saw. Let's play a little game and put Patrick Kane on the Leafs and put Phil Kessel on the Blackhawks. We all know what that would look like, and nobody would say, wow, why would Chicago want that loser? Are you kidding me? They might not notice much of a tangible difference. You've said it before about other guys, and we can name them. The two guys in Vancouver, Kevin Bieksa, Dan Hamhuis, Brent Seabrook. Let Dion Phaneuf play with Duncan Keith for just 20 games. 20 games in this league, and you'll see it. Send him back to Calgary and let him play with Mark Giordano now. Giordano's emergence didn't exactly coincide with Phaneuf's best years in Calgary. They're totally unrelated. Yeah, Giordano was kicking around the American Hockey League all those years.
I agree. Is Brent Burns, you know, that much better than Dion Phaneuf? I know what you're saying. He is underratedly important to this Leafs team. A Leafs team that's already in the tank.
They
have no confidence. They're 10 points out. They've lost 6 in a row.
So it's really difficult to quantify the games. There were 16 a bunch of years ago when guys like Freddie Schustrom and Brad May were playing for them. When Phaneuf was injured, they've played 18 games without him, and they're 5-10-3. And Dion Phaneuf has played, you know, almost 400 games in a Leaf uniform. We just haven't seen very much of the Leafs without Dion Phaneuf. And like I said, in the last 4 years, there's just the 2-game suspension last year. I don't know how it's going to look, but you won't hear too many people, too many educated hockey fans saying, wow, addition by subtraction. They're better without him.
Yeah,
that's an unbelievably bad opinion. And when we talk about where the Leafs need to get, when we talk about finishing in the bottom five, playing without Dion Phaneuf for a long period of time is going to help them accomplish that goal. And again, you can't pin that on the players. You can't pin that on the coaching staff. But when Brendan Shanahan sits with Kyle Dubas and Mark Hunter and I guess Dave Nonis and whoever else he sits with, clearly they'd sit around and go, we'd rather draft 4th than 9th.
Yeah.
We're not stupid about it.
And that's where I'm going with this is that, because I get it. Organizations have a lot of pride, and it's really, really difficult sometimes to have this intellectual honesty where you see yourself for what you really are. And I get it. You always want to win, and you always think, hey, if we can just string some wins together and we'll get back into this thing and all that. This Dion Phaneuf injury is enough of a blow that if they weren't already, Brendan Shanahan should be listening to us right now and saying to himself, I'm way ahead of these guys.
For once, they're right.
I'm way ahead of these guys. Yeah. Enough is enough, and there's 30-some games to go this season, and we're going to get ahead of this thing.
And we're going to have...
Cody Franson, out. James Reimer, out. Joffrey Lupul, get what you can. Daniel Winnick, expiring contract.
Now, that said,
give us a pick.
Now, wait a sec, because I want to clarify. Damian Cox, our colleague, came on with us 3 weeks ago and said, blow the sumbitch up. And wait a minute, you said... It's not that easy to do. And it isn't that easy to do, to change everything.
I'm not saying Kessel, FNUF, burn everybody out. I'm not even saying that.
So you are not interested, if we're having a front office discussion here over some Starbucks, you're not telling me at the table. You can be anybody you want, Hunter Dubas, whoever. You're not telling me, if I'm Shanahan, I think we should move Kessel and FNUF. I don't think you're getting proper value for either guy right now based on what they are worth to you in a good set of circumstances.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the moves that you're going to make anyway, just do it. Like, listen, I like Cody Franson, and he's arguably right there with FNUF as the Leafs' best D-man. I've come a long way on Cody Franson. He'd be a great building block. It's my belief.
And he's 26. He's three years younger than Dion.
It's my belief that Cody Franson is headed elsewhere as soon as July 1st opens. He's getting Niskanen type of money from 12 different markets. He's gone. And you know what? You can get a first-round pick from at the deadline. A late first, but a first. So just do it already. Because the sooner he gets out of this lineup, the worse you're going to be. And they ain't getting back to eight.
Well, and the great debate is, to me, the intriguing ones are the guys with those one-year deals. The two guys people are going to call about are going to be Santarelli and Winnick. Now, unlike Mason Raymond last year, I'd like to see the Leafs be able to put something together where you can't keep these players at their $1.3 million, $1.5 million deals. But I do see them as building blocks for the lower end. Bottom six guys are interchangeable throughout this entire league, and everybody knows it.
I'd love to see them re-sign Santarelli. Give him 3 years at seven, something like that. Daniel Winnick, give me a pick. Out. Gone. Go. Bye.
But then you're replacing Daniel Winnick.
That's
and
fine.
I'm not
I don't
saying
care.
It's difficult to do.
That.
I just said it. It's not that difficult to do.
7:10, Brady and Walker, our second clue for Leafs Oilers tickets coming up this weekend. Coming up in about 4 minutes from now. First, let's get you what else you need to know on your Tuesday.
This is your Tuesday morning six-pack. Six things you need to start your day.
All right, number six. Any thoughts on Robert Kraft addressing the media last night? Pretty staunch in his defense of his team, wasn't he?
There was, I know, and a lot of people loved it, but there was a little bit of, I blame how this story's been reported, and I don't know what he would have expected. I mean, is he unhappy with how people have reported his player being indicted for murders? It's not great publicity for the Patriots. What I would have liked to have seen from Kraft is a little bit of, hey, guess what? You know, we've made some mistakes before. Spygate, he doesn't have to reference it by name. So I understand everyone's skepticism, but he can bang the table and get upset, and he can defend them strongly in this Deflategate issue. But the idea that the media is out to get the Patriots, the problem is there's a track record here. And as we said it a week ago, there's any of these other 31 teams, and we're a little less skeptical about devious, cheating-esque behavior, right? It's the Patriots, and they've done it.
Number five, Paul Beeston re-signs with the Toronto Blue Jays. He will be here as president for the 2015 season. The team press release said he will retire after this upcoming season. It's been a weird couple of months. Has this whole situation, have they saved face on it a little bit now that we kind of have a resolution, so to speak?
Well, I think the idea was, what does a president do over the course of the season anyway? And the curiosity factor is, if they'd been able to nail down somebody, a Dan Duquette out of Baltimore in the last few weeks, or a Kenny Williams, who they approached a while back, Rogers did, are they just settling for Beeston because they can't get the guy they want? I don't know. I'll say this, at 69, with great reverence and respect for Paul Beeston's accomplishments with the Blue Jays, he probably didn't even think he'd get a second chance at this 10 years ago. But with great reverence and respect, if I'm 69 and things have gone the way they sort of have for the Blue Jays,
kind of got to see the end of the tunnel.
Yeah,
right?
I might be expecting them to, at some point, call me in and say, wonderful service. Here's your handshake. Here's your gold watch. Move even further upstairs. Cito Gaston knew when enough was enough, and he got a second chance here.
Number four, NHL is back tonight, 11 games, five Canadian teams, including the Rangers and the Islanders on Sportsnet. All right, this is I'm just coming up with this right now, a bit of a weird conspiracy theory, I know, but players look forward to this All-Star break, and they probably go a little nuts. They're in, you know, on the beach, they're in Vegas, they're all kinds of spots. And what's coming out today? There was like four or five guys injured, injury reports, like Kyle Okposo and Dion Phaneuf. Is everything above board here? You think some guy did something stupid over the break and got himself injured?
This is an Eric Johnson, no pun intended, because golf, he's injured. Also, yes, golf cart scenario. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. No, I don't feel like that's
the
case.
It was the one thing that came to my mind yesterday. Like, is somebody running on the beach and diving into the, you know, I don't know.
A little sand football, right? Yes, with exactly. The after a couple of Coronas.
Number three, Aussie Open. Eugenie Bouchard loses in straight sets late last night to Maria Sharapova. She's done. Milos Raonic takes on Novak Djokovic bright and early, 3:30 coming up tomorrow morning in his quarterfinal.
This is very chicken and egg stuff, isn't it? Because Jeannie Bouchard's now 9-17 against top 10 players. Now she's 20 years old. She's going to be great. We even said, I think we said it, Andrew, after the Australian Open last year. We didn't even wait for the French or her Wimbledon final appearance. We said, she's going to win a Grand Slam. I feel less confident about Milos Raonic and always had, but that's the depth of the men's tour versus the lack of depth on the women's tour, where it's just, God, if Sharapova and Serena are on their games, there's nobody better. And Sharapova could easily win this tournament now.
Number two, Leafs back in action tomorrow. Dion Phaneuf is mentioned out week to week. And the number one thing you need to know, Mike Richards. Yes, that Mike Richards, L.A. King, Stanley Cup winner, Olympic gold medalist, on waivers. But he is going to clear in about 5 hours from now, because he has $5.75 million owed over the next 5 years. It's something that we will ask our NHL insider, Eric Francis, about coming up at 7:22. Now, we want to send you to the Leafs and Oilers coming up Saturday, February the 7th. Pretty good game. Hockey Night in Canada at the ACC. Name us this mystery player. Here's your second clue this morning. He played his junior hockey in Laval, in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. Your next clue and chance to win these tickets coming up at 8:14 this morning.
Coming up, Eric Francis, our NHL insider from Sportsnet West. We get back at it. Your home for hockey tonight on Sportsnet, 7 o'clock, weather permitting. Yes, I know there's a roof on the building. Rangers-Islanders continue their great rivalry. And yeah, as Andrew mentioned, the Isles hit the ice without Kyle Okposo, potentially till late March. That game here, don't forget, Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey has the Leafs back in action, heading to the same basic area against the New Jersey Devils tomorrow night at 7. Darren Millard, your host for that.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Always the best sports talk on Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
7:23, good morning, Brady and Walker. Don't forget, Hockey Hall of Famer Chris Chelios is going to join us at 8:02. Remember the last time we had Chelios on? We played like...
He dug the claws in a little bit on Brandon Shanahan. Because he'd written the book, and we asked him about the segments about Shanahan, and he said, if you like politicians, Shanny's your guy. But if you don't, you won't.
But we also asked him about
politicians,
because
really.
He knows a lot of celebrities, right? We did a little game with him. Like, okay, I'm gonna
have you met him?
Have you met him? And we asked everyone from Carrot Top to I don't know
Billy Idol. Well, we knew the Kid Rocks and John Cusack and John McGinley's, all that Malibu posse.
But then I asked him, like, it was a random name. I'm like, okay, Eddie Vedder, one of my favorites. And he's like, yes, I had lunch with him yesterday. It was incredible.
That's right. He was in Detroit playing a show.
It was incredible.
It's Pearl Jam and Chris Chelios.
Yeah. So he's going to join us at 8:02 this morning. We don't like him as much as Chris Chelios, but he looks just as youthful in his old age. Eric Francis joins us for Sicily Honda, our NHL insider from Sports.
This guy likes politicians, so maybe he loves Calgary's mayor. We know that you guys are like blood brothers, you and that guy out there.
We're tight.
I know.
As tight as Chelly and I. Chelly and I had lunch about, I guess it's a year ago now.
Can you get out of parking tickets from the Calgary mayor?
No, not through him. I have another guy for that.
Yes, of course you do.
Sources close to Eric Francis. So we thought, God, is Mike Richards maybe going to be the best AHL player in the last 10 years, or at least the most prominent name? The Wade Redden thing, the Rangers really gave that a go. They gave it I thought, as much a go as they could. But, Eric, back then, there was great benefit to burying $6.5 million off your cap. Now, with the new rules,
saves them $900,000.
Yeah, the Kings aren't getting much relief in the lease. They're just they're almost saying this is a hockey thing for us to move forward.
Well, it you know, I think that this whole thing comes at actually a very good time for the LA Kings, if you can say that. I mean, it's turmoil. It's something in the dressing room that I'm sure every player has a very strong opinion on. But, you know, they needed a shakeup in L.A., and I don't think that this was a fluke that this happened. Now, this is something, obviously, they've been contemplating for quite some time now. Obviously, it's kind of the elephant in the room. With that contract, you can't have a guy on the fourth line anywhere in the NHL making that sort of money, let alone a guy who's, you know, a minus. A fourth-line center cannot be a minus and stay in the National Hockey League, especially if he's making any sort of money. He's not contributing offensively. And they don't, frankly, need him as a leader in that dressing room because they have so many great leaders in that room. So I think he's a great fit in a lot of other cities, and I still think that there are a lot of other teams that are looking at this very closely. And if they can get a deal where they'll have the Kings subsidize it enough, I think you'll see him on an NHL roster relatively soon. But that all depends on the LA Kings, how much they're willing to bite off and chew for a guy who's going to play on another team. That'll be the interesting part about all this, because Mike Richards, clearly, you know, it's not working with the Kings anymore. They've given him enough of a sample size, and it's not working.
It is incredible. $5.75 million over the next 5 years. And we've already floated the idea. A lot of people have. Would the Leafs steal David Clarkson for Richards? Now, L.A. might do that, but it's not helping their money situation because it's bad contract out, bad contract in. So what does an eventual, like, let's say Richards goes down to the farm in Manchester for 3 weeks, 4 weeks. What does an eventual Richards deal have to look like?
I mean, I think that they're just hoping that someone will come along and take the bulk of that contract. But I like I said before, what's it going to look like? It's going to look like the L.A. Kings are going to have to spend probably $2 or $3 million a year to pay for Richards' salary.
It's the only way, right?
I can't see how any other scenario would happen. Teams around the league know that they've got the Kings over a barrel on this one, too. It's not like everyone's clamoring to get him. If he had great numbers or was still as productive as he's been 2 and 3 years ago, then sure. But obviously, he's dropped off to the point where that reputation he has as a guy who doesn't care, a guy who's a partier, that's also catching up to him, too. And that's going to hurt him as other teams kind of dip their toe in the water to see what it would cost to get Mike Richards. So all of this, you know, again, taking him out of the dressing room right now is a good message for these players that are on the roster right now, because they should not be in a dogfight for a playoff spot right now. They should be well into a playoff spot in the West. But because they're basically in a dogfight with the Calgary Flames of all people for that last playoff spot in the West, you know, it's probably not a bad thing that this is getting shaken up now.
Now, there was a report that the Flames were kicking tires on him. He does appear to be a Brian Burke kind of guy, and they have lots of salary cap room to play with. Is there a questionable contract on the other side that Brian Burke would move off for Mike Richards and bring on that money?
Well, you know, if you want to start looking at questionable contracts, and then the Calgary Flames are the same as every single team in the league, you've got some. Matt Stajan is one that comes to mind. And, you know, there's a guy who could fill a fourth-line center role in L.A., you know, because he does it here, and he does it quite well, actually. Yuri Hudler was a guy who was considered overpriced for a long time, but has actually played very, very well and is probably worth the money now. But Dennis Wiedemann is a guy who, more than anybody, has a bad contract that the Calgary Flames would love to get rid of. But, you know, Matt Stajan might be the best guy that, you know, because it would be swapping fourth liners. Now, Richards would come in here and not be a fourth liner. I think he'd play a more significant role, mostly as a leader. Let the rumors begin on the Calgary Flames, you know, continuing to push forward and trying to get a Mike Richards, because you're right. Berkey and even Brad Treliving love that guy, that gritty leader on their roster. That would be a good fit. And you're right, they've got tons of cap room.
$14 million, most in the NHL right now. Ottawa's second with 12.
And the Flames have long said that that's, you know, a huge benefit that they have moving forward, you know, whereas they have the flexibility to potentially take on a bad contract. Like, they've been on record talking about that, not specifically about Mike Richards, but just in general. When you have that much cap space, it gives you a bullet in your chamber that most teams just don't have, which is flexibility. And so, you know, again, this is something that will be talked about around the league for quite some time, I'm sure, linking Richards to Calgary.
Some of what the Kings, ails the Kings, Eric Francis, our guest, by the way, for Cicely Honda. Some of it, does some of it come back to the roost of Jonathan Quick? He's not, we're not going to say Jonathan Quick is overrated, but it does show you how hard he's having a bad season. And bad goalies can have good seasons and good goalies can have bad seasons, but the bad season's undeniable. Save percentage is below league average. We haven't overrated Jonathan Quick, but they're fifth in shots given up, and they are nowhere near fifth in goals against, and they're struggling.
Yeah, like I think it's unfair to just, you know, paint the Quick's not having the season that he's used to having, but you know, the loss of Slavovoyanov and that whole defensive core has not been that good. Like you said, they give up a ton of shots on goal.
No, they don't. They don't give up that many. They don't give up a ton.
You know, listen to the way their pairings have gone this year. Right now, Alex Martinez is playing significant amounts of time on that top pairing with Drew Doughty. They kind of flip-flop between Martinez and Jake Muzzin. Like, it's just not the caliber of defense that they need to have to stop the scoring, the quality scoring chances. And if you look at the LA Kings record, too, when it gets to overtime or shootouts, they've got to be the worst in the league. I think they've got 2 wins and 11 losses once they go past regulation time, something like that. So, I don't know, you call that bad luck, you call that just not coming through in the clutch. I mean, this franchise is known for coming through in the clutch. I mean, that's their absolute hallmarks in winning 2 cups in the last 3 years. So what's changed? Why can't they do it? Is it the goaltending? I'd say it's part of it. But
yeah, you nailed it there. And they're sixth worst. Yeah, they have the sixth worst penalty kill in all the league. And there's some really bad. I mean, when you lump anybody in this year with the Buffaloes and Arizonas and Carolinas, a team like LA shouldn't be down there with them. So you're bang on with that.
Well, and that's a guy. Mike Richards is a penalty killer too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big part of it too. Is he's not coming through, doing one of the jobs that he's supposed to come through on. You know, he's become a role player, and the roles that he plays, he's not playing them well. So, it's amazing. It's a perfect storm for them to have to try and send him down.
Before you go, how hard and how vociferous will Winnipeg be to make the playoffs? Their fan base wants it. They can finally smell it this year, and they've stuck with the same crew. Could they be a team that are, and we talked, there's cap room there too, could they be a team that would be big-time buyers at the deadline, maybe even surprising buyers coming up in 5 weeks from now?
Well, it would be surprising, right, because they never do anything.
They never do.
At the trade deadline, Kevin Cheveld, day off, gets asked a million questions and says maybe, but everyone around the league thinks he's just scared. But, yeah, if you're going to make a move, this should be the year that they should do it. I mean, this team, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but it's for real. I mean, if you watch this team play, they're big and they're fast, and they play two-way hockey. Like, that's a deadly combination. Their coach has them believing in their system. You know, they played Chicago this year 3 times, beat them all 3 times, and there were some interesting comments from Brent Seabrook on the weekend saying, that team's for real. Like, that's a legitimate contender. Now, I don't think anyone's talked about them being a contender. The big debate is whether or not they can even get into the playoff dance, but I think at this point right now, look at the points they have. You know, East and the West, there's really only one spot up for grabs for the playoffs, if you ask me, and that's that LA-Calgary battle. Other than that, I think Winnipeg's in.
Yeah, so. I worry about Vancouver. Walker's trying to put the hex on the Canucks anyway, and they're missing Bieksa for 6 weeks, and I think that's massive. Massive.
I agree that's massive. He's a big leader in that dressing room, and, you know, that would be one team in the West that could fall out.
I'm worried about that.
I mean, I still think it'll be Calgary that'll fall out of the race, but Vancouver has a couple games in hand too on another team. More and more, I'm a believer in Vancouver because they found that winger that can play with the Sedins, and that was crucial.
I've been doing some digging, and I think you should run with these rumors. There is no better landing spot for Mike Richards than with the Calgary Flames. It's absolutely going to. I just came up with 3 brilliant trade proposals that would work, and I saw Brian Burke at a pub yesterday. I was out for lunch, and he was there, so I should have told him, but I didn't.
Yeah, so
anyways,
you're going with the 3 names that I threw at their stage.
Okay, I'll give you three that you can go on the air this morning and talk about. And yes, it's Rich.
he's looking forward to that.
It's Richards in a third for Stajan. It's Richards in a second for Bolig, and Richards for Smead straight up. Calgary eats money in every case, but they can afford it. There you go.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks,
you,
Eric.
You go with those. I think I'll lay off for a while.
Eric Francis. Thanks, Eric Francis. Our guest, Sportsnet 590 Hockey Insider for Cicely Honda.
Very excited with trade proposals. And,
yeah.
Hey, trade deadline's coming up March 2nd.
Nothing says we want to win like giving up Stajan in a third. John Morosi will join us coming up next.
They get the third.
And we'll talk about the new commissioner. He's written about him. Ken Rosenthal, his colleagues, written about him. And yeah, Jeannie Bouchard, a little chicken and egg. Like, how do you get to be one of the top seeds if you can't beat the top seeds? And right now, there's a bit of a stall factor getting through these huge names. When Maria Sharapova and Serena Williams are in the way, it's hard for anyone to get past them.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Brady and Walker continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Good morning, 7:42, Brady and Walker, still to come. We did talk about it earlier. But an underrated guy moment that I had this weekend, I'll tell you about it. I walked into a washroom and, okay, maybe that's, I've said too much. And I was surprised at how excited I got
less than
over a certain scenario. Anyway, Mike Wilner, by the way, going to join us at 8:42. Talk a little bit about Beeston and also, hey, how's that Blue Jays bullpen coming?
I've finally seen the picture of Phil Kessel at Harvey's that people were talking about.
Everyone made it act like
he's the so Hamburglar funny. And he's rubbing his hands gleefully. I get excited in the line at Harvey's. I wouldn't want pitch. You know what I do? I've eaten more drive-through sitting in my car alone. Like, I'm surprised I haven't been busted. Most times it's broad daylight. But I'm really surprised someone isn't like, that's really sad. Kids, don't look. That man is in his car devouring like a Harvey's Angus burger by himself.
Yeah,
but hey, I don't want to bring it home. I feel guilty about it.
We got to talk about that Phil Kessel picture.
But there's nothing. He's getting his garnishes. He's getting his condiments.
I know, but it's still
sad.
You act
like he's climbing over the table to cook the burgers himself.
I'm not acting like anything.
Right, people are.
I know that people are jumping on and be like, wow, this is an example. Listen,
No, it's not.
He's like a highly tuned. He's a professional athlete. Like, you could eat whatever you want in the season. And meanwhile, the guys that didn't make the All-Star game are drinking 40 Coronas on a beach.
I know.
Far worse than a burger.
7:44. It's minus 12 right now on Tuesday.
It was very sad, though. Yeah,
sure. Well, I didn't think he looked lonely even. John Morosi's our MLB insider for Fox Sports. We've seen this man eat. We don't know where it goes, but he's got the metabolism of Seattle Slough. But either way, he likes a burger as much as the next guy. Good morning, John.
I was wondering how you were going to transition from Phil Kessel and fast food to me. That was very skillful,
well,
Brady. Well done.
You've been on record that you have supported every MLB team that's put in an all-you-can-eat section and had an all-you-can-eat. You've been... And you try and manipulate your travel to get to these destinations. I would do the same thing if I were you.
Well, I did do a report last year at the All-Star Game on the computerized beer dispenser at Target Field. Does that count?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Thank you.
That counts 100%. So Baltimore folks are asking right now, I mean, we'll get to the Toronto situation with Beeston. Baltimore folks are asking, is this even salvageable with Dan Duquette now? And this can even happen in our industry. If you don't want to be somewhere, or you are flirting with the, I guess, quote unquote, the competition, how do you then come back? Do they have an untenable situation in Baltimore? Does Peter Angelos, does Buck Showalter, do the players look at their general manager, president, and say, we got a guy who wouldn't mind flying the coop. How do we resolve that?
Well, I think Shai Davidi has made a great point about this, guys, which is that there's maybe some parallels to be made between this scenario and John Farrell with the Blue Jays after 2011, the first time the Red Sox wanted to hire him when it didn't work out. And, of course, the Blue Jays took a very firm stand and said, no, he's under contract, he's our employee, he's going to stay. And we all remember the 2012 season in Toronto did not go very well at all. A lot of internal discord.
You're right. The firmer stand, though, they did take a firm stand. The firm-est stand would have been to fire John Farrell after the 11 season and say, listen, if your heart isn't fully in it, all the best to you. Go pursue this because
And you could have said the same thing would have been true of Dan Duquette with the Orioles.
Yes.
Right now.
Yeah. And it still may happen. He may not be there in a month from now or 6 months from now.
Well, it's an extremely awkward situation. I guess I would say this. It's maybe a little less awkward if it's the GM versus the manager where you're seeing him every single day. But still, I really think the Orioles had, for a period of time there, a pretty good thing going with the way Duquette and Showalter had worked together. And I just think there's that moment of awkwardness, I think, really, that's an undercurrent of everything that's going on right now with the Orioles, of he's making decisions, making moves, and everybody wonders now, well, how long is he going to be here? Does he really want to be here? And I think if that's what you're thinking all the time when you're dealing with somebody in that position, it's a very difficult situation to be in. So I think Peter Angelos obviously is a lawyer by trade. This is how he looks at things, and he believes the contract should be honored, and that's all well and good. But I think you wonder if he's really undermining the health of his own organization by doing that, and if in fact it's going to be a very uncomfortable relationship between Duquette and manager Buck Showalter for the entirety of the season.
Let me squeeze this in. Do they view Brady Anderson, the VP of baseball ops, are they grooming him as a GM? I've heard that a lot in the last week, and I was shocked because I don't know, but I assume he's not a doofus, but I hadn't heard that. Yeah, he's really on their radar. They think he's a brilliant ex-player.
I've heard his name. I also think it would be at some point in time, if Dan leaves there, perhaps just as likely that they would promote Tripp Norton or Ned Rice from within their front office group to be the GM, but allow, in many ways, Buck Showalter to have the final say-so on the personnel matters, very similar to the way it works for Greg Popovich with the Spurs, I mean, and R.C. Buford. I think it's the same kind of a mentality with that structure. I do think if Duquette leaves, that is very possible as well.
John Morosi joins us, Brady Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. As we get closer and closer to the beginning of the season, it's becoming very evident just how big, and maybe it's tabloid journalism, but how big of a story Alex Rodriguez is going to be going forward. It's going to be this tour. How do you see this whole season, at least in the early going, playing out in New York for A-Rod?
Well, it's going to be a circus, and there's no question about it. It's interesting, Andrew. I was talking about this earlier on in the offseason, and I said somewhat with a tone of resignation that the largest collection of satellite trucks in spring training will not be with the free agents who signed for the most money. It won't be with Scherzer or with Lester in Chicago. It's going to be with A-Rod, and it will be with A-Rod throughout the entire spring training. Whenever he makes his first statements and appearances, that's going to be the big story carried live by networks and everything else, when the reality is he's a guy that's an older DH, and he's going to play, maybe if everything goes great, 100 games. It's going to obviously be closely watched. And now, of course, there's this additional story from the New York Daily News about the Yankees seeing if there's a way they can not pay his milestone bonuses for the home runs he's going to surpass Willie Mays and on up the list. And I just look at that and think it's going to be extremely difficult for the Yankees to not pay that money. It's in the contract. When you hit 660, we pay you a bonus. So it's going to be very, very interesting, just that end of things in the contract. But I think, to your point on a larger issue, what his role is going to be, I do think he's going to be able to play a certain number of games. Maybe it's 80, maybe it's 100. But the reality is the Yankees, he's under contract. He'll be in spring training. And I think he'll be able to stay healthy at least enough to collect his paychecks and take a handful of at-bats.
A complicated question on him too. Do you see him finishing this out? With the Yankees, that is. I mean, there's two X factors here. What if he can play? What if he's better after a year off physically? And as long as the eye hand and the timing's not down, does a team? We even speculate on the Marlins 2 years ago to say, boy, you might not like Alex Rodriguez. I don't think there's anybody not buying tickets to go see him. Fans are interested, and even if they want to boo him, Cray, everybody loves a villain, okay? You don't have good guys fight against each other in wrestling. Would it work somewhere else?
Well, I think first and foremost, the Yankees are going to want him around, actually, from a standpoint of the television ratings. He is ratings.
No, yes,
no matter
he
how
is.
You feel about him, we all remember the night Dempster hit him in September of a couple of years ago. He was interesting theater. He always is and always will be. So I think the Yankees, in their first year without Derek Jeter, who's the face of that franchise? They don't have Robinson Cano anymore either. So who is the guy that you're going to tune in to watch that really is compelling television? It's A-Rod for the Yankees. It is. So I think that they'll probably want him around as long long as he can be on the field at least a little bit. I would be somewhat skeptical that he finishes out the entire contract with them, because for any player of that age, it's going to be a little bit of a challenge. Maybe it is the Marlins that would take a chance on him, because I think that the thing about A-Rod is, as long as the culture around him is suitable in your clubhouse, the one thing about him is he really loves the game, and he loves actually teaching the game. I mean, that's the part about A-Rod that people don't really talk about all that much. He really does enjoy the nuances of baseball. He's a complete baseball lifer, and that's why he's coming back, because this is what he has. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how long it lasts in New York, and then if it ends there, whenever it ends there, if the Marlins or somebody else take a chance on him, because he's working out with Barry Bonds for the reason that actually people are poking fun at it. The reality is Bonds and A-Rod both love the game, love the talk hitting, and I think actually it may do him some good.
John, thanks for this. We'll talk really soon.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you. Anxious to see what the Leafs can make out of this.
All right.
I know. Yeah.
That's enough hockey talk, Morosi.
Waiting for a take on Petter Granberg and what he can bring to the bottom six.
See you later,
Morosi. There he goes, John Morosi. Maybe a Hal Gill reunion on the blue line at some point. There he is.
He can't help himself.
No.
By the way, so there's John Morosi. Ken Rosenthal right now, I'm going to tweet it out, at Fan590Walker, has a great article right now on kind of the culmination of this Beeston thing, and his headline, Blue Jays Orioles both deserve errors for handling of the Duquette Beeston mess. It is a really good read. And just a reminder, Paul Beeston will join Jeff Blair this morning right out of the gates at 9 a.m. 7:53, Brady and Walker. So this weekend, and I told you about it earlier, I had like this underrated moment that you don't think about till you're in the moment. And I know every guy out there, me, you, our listeners, every guy appreciates this. So tell me if I'm wrong. This weekend I was out for breakfast, and I was at some diner, basically, like a Greasy Spoon breakfast.
Well, I feel like you should credit it, since such a euphoric event happened there.
Okay, I was at Flo's Diner, it's called.
That's not true.
It is true.
All right, fine.
So I go into the washroom.
Okay.
And there in the urinals is, and you see it once in a while, not all the time, but it was a big pile of ice.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
And I surprised myself at how excited I got, because I got to do my like arcade laser melt game.
Really,
come on, you know what I'm talking about. So you excitedly hurry over to the urinal, and the goal is to, as any normal guy would do, I'm going to melt all this ice with my laser pointer of justice.
You know why I did some research on this. I don't even want to tell you what I had to Google to find this out. Bar owners especially put this in there, ice in there, because people don't flush. People don't flush. They don't want it. It will stink. And they see,
okay, yeah,
say it's better than the cakes, if you will. The urinal cakes.
I get the theory behind it. I'm just saying it's fun. It's fun.
So let me,
do it at my house.
Well, I was just going to ask that. I got kids that don't flush all the time. I should be putting ice. I should be buying bags of ice and dumping them down my brand new toilets that I'm going to have to spring for in the next 2 or 3 days.
I don't know if that works.
I can't tell. I so want to blame. These toilets in my house are 30 years old, and I so want to blame my kids for this.
What's happening? Can you say? I don't even.
They're just
know.
There are clogging issues that are clogging up my life and lifestyle. It's not terrible. Like, we're not talking train spotting.
Maybe it's your diet.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Stop eating cheese.
The whole 30. No, listen. I'm off the cheese. Chris Chelios is going to join us coming up in about 7 minutes. As Andrew mentioned, we will get his take on the World Cup and some of the recent suspensions. He didn't exactly play like an angel, and we'll also talk about the interview Jeff Blair will have coming up with Paul Beeston at 9 o'clock, with Mike Wilner at 8:40.